benefits to the greatest number of beneficiaries, and that's current and future, and the future part is really important from my perspective. I haven't said this part, that translates to our jobs really have become really listening to understand all the perspectives and to use our technical expertise to create solutions that achieve our responsibilities I just described. It can be easy to say or think that your individual or group's thinking is the only right pathway forward. And that's one of the fundamental challenges as a public servant, is we serve everybody. And everyone thinks that they got it right and they have it clear. And that if we as a agency don't do exactly what they think is the right thing, that we did something wrong. And I know some of that's creeping up, like CPW is doing this wrong, CPW is doing that wrong. And I just, it's a little frustrating to hear, because I think CPW's does a great job in all aspects, wolves included. Now, that's not to say that we don't have a lot more work to do as an agency with CDA, Wildlife Services, NGOs, like that partnership space, but also really like working with our ranching community and also working with the general public and the wild wolf advocates in as well. So this is one where I keep hearing CPW is doing this to us. Also a frustration point for me, this CPW is implementing a state law that was developed by the will of the voters. And we recognize that the implementation can have more direct impacts on the ranching community. And while they may not always feel like we hear them, we've been nothing but listening to understand and trying to create solutions that address the concerns that they're experiencing. And on the flip side of that, that we also hear and are working to understand and create solutions that address wolf advocates' fears and concerns as well. And again, goes back to how do we create solutions that solve these issues that everyone shares. So we've heard a lot about pause, future releases. Again, going back to, we've been listening from day one to everyone's concerns about wolf restoration and how it's going. And we've been working on these concerns from day one. So I know Reed will, in his wolf program update, will go into more detail, but I can't say it enough. Usually the correspondence I get is, you're not listening, you're not doing anything, you're not transparent, you're not communicating. And I can appreciate, while it might feel that way, we are working hard and doing our best. So you all know we've had the ad hoc group that we've been working with. Again, Commissioner Greenberg mentioned our partnership with CDA and CPW. We've been working with Wildlife Services. The CSU extension has been phenomenal, I think, to both CDA and CPW and the ad hoc group. And then we have a lot of really amazing NGOs that are really trying to help, do their part to help avoid and minimize impacts of the restoration effort. So a couple key things, maybe more urgent, that we've been very focused on is our conflict specialist capacity. Chair May has called that the rapid response team. Jeff's calling that, because we don't have an ambulance. Jeff's calling that the depredation or carnivore conflict reduction specialist capacity. And we are looking at flying 5 more additional conflict specialists here very shortly. The conflict specialists we have on staff right now are phenomenal. They have experience in other states with wolves, and they've been hugely helpful in shaping some of the solutions we've been working on around the concerns we've heard. Also working, have been working very closely with CDA on getting a range rider RFP or RFQ out. My understanding is that I think has been elevated to DNR's procurement specialist to help us refine that and get that posted shortly. We are dangerously close, and I know we've said that a few times, to a final definition of chronic depredation. That right now is in the hands of the Attorney General's office, just for a final cleanup to make sure that we're very consistent with the 10J permit that we hold, as well as the regulations that we currently have in place. And I'll come back to the commission more with what that is as part of our final administrative directive. Very close, I think within a day or so of finalizing a site assessment template. I know that some of those workshops that Commissioner Greenberg referenced, we're getting thankfully, a lot of interest from folks that are attending those workshops to develop site assessments with us. So that's a really positive thing. We're improving communications, so we're working. We've always had a communication plan. We continue to refine it as we hear feedback on how people are feeling that is effective or not. A good example of that is that last Friday we met with a few counties that were identified as potential future release sites for this season. Again, trying to get out there early and often and support whatever dialogue we need to have with county electeds and producers in those areas, so that they understand what it is, and that we can help them be prepared when those releases occur. There's a lot more. I'll skip over it in the interest of time. Continue. One last really important piece is we continue to work with Commissioner Greenberg and her team around carcass management, making sure that if you're a rancher and you're listening and your ground isn't frozen yet, like, now's the time to cover up those dead pits, and as well as thinking about opportunities like a voucher program where we can try to offset or minimize the effects on ranchers of disposing of carcasses going forward. And I say this maybe too frequently now, but the Blackfoot Challenge wasn't created overnight, right? So we're going to put these programs in place, and my hope is that we'll continue to have dialogue with the local communities about how those programs are working and how they can be improved, and or how do we evolve to a new model potentially moving forward. It would be remiss of me as a biologist to not reference the biological significance of or need to release more animals out there. As folks have probably been tracking in the news, we released 10 Oregon wolves. Of those 10, we have 7 remaining, and so it's really important. The faster we can get to pack formation, I think this ball game changes, where we're not having individual animals traveling 100 to 200 miles a week and trying to stay ahead of those animals and make sure that the ranchers in those areas are put in the best place to avoid and minimize impacts between the wolves and livestock. So it's really important that we get more animals on the landscape, so that we can see pairing, breeding, and pack formation that will establish territories, defend those territories, but also give us an opportunity to really track and monitor patterns of behavior, so that we can line up those site assessments with those the pack travel patterns and make sure that we're improving communication with ranchers about wolf activity in those areas, but also have our strategies set up to avoid and minimize impacts or conflicts between wolves and livestock. I guess we we do hear, and we are working on implementing stronger coexistence programs to assist the ranchers, and that's important. We have a lot of ranchers. Everyone we serve, they're good people. They're some of the best in the country, in my experience. And our ranchers are good people, and they just want to make sure that we have the tools and programs in place to help them through this. So we're committed to that. Definitely prior to this upcoming season. Sorry, I'll wrap it up, Mr. Chair. You all saw an announcement from us that CPW has completed analyzing data from the multi-year effort to measure the density of mountain lions in western Colorado. I think we just made this announcement. It was one that we, again, in respect of the election, that we didn't release when it was finalized, but we released it right after. And it's a really robust study of mountain lion populations and densities, and it's testing some of our population estimate methodology. So can't say enough about it. Let me know if you don't have access to that, and we will definitely make sure you can take a look at the study results of that. As you all know, tomorrow, Mark Vieira will be presenting on the East Slope Lion Plan. This is something that has been in front of this commission multiple times, and we're kind of at that step where we need your approval of that plan, including some of the associated regulations, so that this next lion season is managed up to the scientific standards that have been incorporated in the updating of the East Slope Lion Plan. Black bears, lots of activity. We're really hoping that they slow down and sleep soon. This was a pretty high year for bear conflict, bear-human, bear-livestock conflict, almost always associated with crop failures. Oak production in particular, and so we're very mindful of that, and continue to work both with that human bear conflict work group to try to create solutions to alter human behavior that's creating or contributing to the conflicts with bears, but also paying a lot of attention and support to the livestock industry, as bear and sheep depredations in particular have increased in particular areas across the state. Zebra mussels, so we continue our sampling effort on the Colorado River. We're up to more than 400 samples, and we haven't found any additional zebra.